Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
We are still looking at that very important text in Colossians 2, 16 and 17. And we are looking at it, trying to understand what it says and how it applies, and particularly how it applies to the question of a Christian Sabbath. That's the issue. Is there such a thing as a weekly Christian Sabbath, as there was in the Old Testament, a weekly Sabbath, which was, of course, the seventh day, but is there now a Christian weekly Sabbath, maybe mainly the first day of the week? It's not an easy question. And I wouldn't get too terribly dogmatic about it or upset with those who might take a different position, but we do want to try to understand what Scripture teaches on this matter. And it seems to me that our text that we have come to in our verse-by-verse study through the book of Colossians in chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, does address this matter and addresses it clearly if we are properly understanding that text. And so that's what we are endeavoring to do. So thank you for joining me on this Wednesday, July 20. And many, many thanks for those whose financial gifts enable us to teach God's Word on this station. Here's the text. So, Colossians 2:16, so let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. The first four items in this list are a problem to virtually no one. Don't let anybody judge you in regard to food. You are free to observe a kosher diet if you want to, but you're not required to. That's a matter of Christian liberty. Don't let anybody judge you. Or drink. Drink is really, it's a second item, but it's really in the same category. It has to do with the kosher dietary regulations. Or regarding a festival, that's the annual Jewish feast days, Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles. Again, you're not required to. Now that Christ has come, if you choose to, that's your private business. Don't let anybody judge you regard to that. Or new moon, again, first day of the month. I don't know anybody who does that, by the way. But I wouldn't be surprised if there aren't some Jewish Christians, sometimes called the Messianic Jews, in our day that do these things, that do observe the Mosaic diet, that do follow the, at least observe the annual feast days, Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles. I know some of them observe the Passover meal, the Seder feast, as it's called. I would suppose there may be some who observe the new moon, the first day of each month. I don't know. I've not personally run into anybody who does that. But, of course, it's the last one. There are five things named here, and none of them are particularly controversial, at least to anybody that I have run into in my lifetime. But that fifth one, oh boy, that one is major controversy. That last one, Sabbaths. How could that possibly be referring to a weekly Sabbath? It can't, is what some people say. But it sure seems to me like it must be. Let no one judge you in food or drink or regarding a festival or new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Now, let me try to give you some of the reasons why some people believe that there is a Christian Sabbath, that God's people are required to observe the first day of the week as a Christian Sabbath. The first reason, or at least the first one I'm going to mention, is because it is included in the Decalogue. And the Decalogue, for the most part, contains what many people call the moral law of God, and it really is. I mean, think about it, particularly those things that we understand. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. That gets a little bit more tricky, but most people understand that's abiding requirements of God throughout all generations. That certainly didn't pass away with the coming of Christ. I agree, it didn't. It certainly didn't. And in that Decalogue, and of course it starts with the most important ones, have no other gods before Jehovah God, don't make any graven images, don't take the name of the Lord in vain. All of these things are still very much in force. It would dishonor the Lord today to have some other god that you worship besides him. That's not allowed. It still dishonors the Lord today for you to make a graven image and call that a god and bow down and worship that. That's still forbidden. Taking the Lord's name in vain, that's still forbidden. All these things are still forbidden. So on what basis do you say, but the fourth commandment is the one exception, the rest of them are all abiding? So I'm talking about reasons why people believe that there is a Christian Sabbath. Furthermore, some people point out that this goes back not just to Moses, who gave the Decalogue, but goes all the way back to beginning, to Genesis chapter 2, and has to do with creation order, and is called by many a creation ordinance, because we're told that in 6 days God made the heavens and the earth and everything that is in them, and on the seventh day he rested, and there God established a seventh-day Sabbath from the very beginning. And that's a weighty argument, I agree. And the conclusion, therefore, that many people make is that the Sabbath observance remains, only the day has been changed. Up until the coming of Christ, the Sabbath was the seventh day. With the coming of Christ and his resurrection from the dead, he rose on the first day of the week, and now we see the people of God beginning to gather for worship on the first day, for Christian worship, as opposed to the Jewish worship, which they did before on the seventh day. And so everything about the Sabbath remains the same, one day in seven, one day devoted to God, 6 days to do your work, but one day that you cease from work and devote your time and attention to the things of God. Everything remains the same except just a day has been changed. But why do other Christians think that that is not what is being taught in the Word of God? Well, there are a number of reasons. One obvious one is that there's no exhortation in the New Testament to observe a Sabbath. All the others, the other laws in the Decalogue, are repeated in one way or another in the New Testament. We are told to serve God and Him alone, and not to be guilty of idolatry, and not to take God's name in vain. The language may be different, but you can find all of these things repeated in the New Testament, and certainly to honor your parents, not to kill, not to steal, not to commit adultery, not to bear false witness or to lie in any way. All of these things are repeated in the New Testament and obviously are all requirements for the people of God. There's much a requirement under the New Covenant as they were under the Mosaic Covenant, except you'll find nothing about observing the Sabbath day. That seems to be a powerful message. It is a It's arguing in a sense from silence, but it seems to be a powerful omission. And then there are a couple of scriptures, which I won't go into now, that clearly relate Sabbath keeping to the nation of Israel. Deuteronomy 5:15, Ezekiel 20:12, and so forth. And another consideration as to why many people think that there is no Christian Sabbath is because nobody really knows what its regulations are today. There's no trouble knowing what the biblical regulations for the Old Testament Sabbath are. They're very clearly spelled out. But what are the regulations in the New Testament for a Christian Sabbath? Well, nobody really knows because of this silence, because of this absence. It's not spelled out. There is no command, no requirement to observe it, and no stipulations for how it should be observed. And I have run into some pretty strange things in regard to that. I have a pastor friend. I respect him. I love him. I'm thankful for him. But I asked him to speak at our church one time, and I said after the, this was on a Sunday night, and I said afterwards, let's go out for some, go to a restaurant and have a meal and some fellowship. And he said, no, I don't go to restaurants on the Sabbath, but I'll be happy to come to your house. He more or less invited himself to my house. So it was perfectly okay for my wife to work and prepare a meal, but it wasn't okay to go to a restaurant and prepare a meal. That was his way of observing the Sabbath. But most people who still believe in a Christian Sabbath don't observe it that way at all. I had a young man in our church one time who went to a youth conference sponsored by another church that is pretty strongly Sabbatarian in their viewpoint. And after everything was over on a Sunday, they were going to go out and shoot some hoops. And they were kind of waiting around. He didn't know why they hadn't started yet. And he took a basketball and shot it, and all of a sudden they all got, "You don't do that. You don't do that." "Why not?" "You can't do it until midnight." And they had to wait until midnight, and then as soon as midnight was passed, it was okay for them to start shooting hoops. But up until then, they were breaking the Sabbath. Now, where did they get that regulation? Well, that's not in the New Testament either, but that was their way. I mean, there are no clear regulations. Nobody knows how this is to be observed. Now, I think it would be an amazing fact to many Reformed Christians to know that John Calvin did not believe in observing the Seventh-day Sabbath. And if you think I'm wrong, just go read what he said in his Institutes on the Fourth Commandment. I have read it umpteen times. I couldn't tell you how many times I have read it over the years, trying to make sure I understood correctly what he was saying. And he does not believe. He believes that it was fulfilled in Christ and that there is not a Sabbath day requirement for the people of God today. And on it goes. I'm going to not have enough time to deal with this anymore. But let me just simply say, and I'll have to come back to it tomorrow, but let me simply say, if you want to ask me, well, don't you teach that God's people ought to observe the Lord's Day? Well, yes, I do, actually. Because there is one thing that the Bible requires, and that is that we not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. So, church attendance, assembly with the people of God, is a New Testament requirement, and it is evidently on the first day. And that's as far as we can go if we're going to be biblical. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.